Our scripture text for today comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you, or the chairs in front of you. You can grab that. Proverbs chapter 29. And we're reading verses 8 through 11. Hear then, church, the word of the Lord. Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath. If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. Bloodthirsty men hate one who is blameless and seek the life of the upright. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would come and you would bless this service. We ask that you would bless this preaching of your word. We pray that you would make your presence known to us. We ask that your spirit would teach us in this time, Lord. Help us to have open ears and open hearts, God. We ask that you would have your way and have your will with us. And we ask all of this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So our topic of study in the book of Proverbs today, if you didn't catch from those verses, is wisdom and emotions. And the emotion that the book of Proverbs is most concerned about is that of anger, so that will be our focus this afternoon. Now, throughout the centuries, there have been various ideas about human emotions, and there are two contrasting views that have played a very prominent role in history. One that goes back, both of them go back for a long way. One says, you have to get beyond your emotions. And the key to life is learning how to get beyond them. Get beyond the feeling stuff. Because whoever feels is weak. The strong don't feel at all. So we have to learn to get above and beyond our emotions. We have to not just rise above them, but get beyond them. Emotions are bad. Emotions are what weak people feel. Then there's another view, which is quite the opposite, and this view is much more popular today, and that would be the view that says, if you feel it, then it must be true. If you feel it, then it must be you. Yeah, that rhymed, in case you didn't catch it. If you feel it, then it must be true. If you feel it, then it must be you, because guess what? Your emotions define who you are. They're your guide. And so if you feel a certain way, then you have to be true to yourself. You know, listen to your heart. Follow it. Do what it tells you. Because that's who you are. How you feel. Well, the biblical teaching on emotions isn't in agreement with either of these ideas. Instead, what the Bible teaches us about our emotions is that emotions are good in their proper place. And while our goal isn't to be rid of them, we mustn't be ruled by them. And perhaps there's no emotion that's more prone to be out of place and out of control than the emotion of anger. Well, if we find ourselves thinking that emotions are bad in and of themselves, we have to remember that the Son of God took on flesh. He dwelt among us as an authentic and a true man. He humbled himself to a human frame and even human emotions. Jesus felt the emotions that we feel. He felt sorrow. He felt pity. He felt compassion. He felt joy. He even felt anger. Ultimately, Jesus didn't come to save us from our emotions, but to save us from our sin and enslavement to sinful desires that actually are what cause our emotions to go out of place. They drive our emotions out of place. So sanctification, when we think about sanctification in a believer's life, that process of growing holy, It doesn't mean, sanctification doesn't mean that we're going to feel less and less. We're going to get more and more numb. Rather, sanctification means that our feelings will become more and more in line with the character and the heart of God. They're to be informed by God's word as Christians, and they're to be under the discipline of His grace at work in our lives. So we'll see, there's a reason why the book of Proverbs speaks so often about the emotion of anger. It's a powerful emotion. Anger is an emotion that can do much harm. It's like fire. In its right place and under strict control, it can serve a good purpose, but uncontained and unmanaged, it can and will consume house and home. And I say home, meaning the people in the house. Most often, our anger is not fueled by a zeal for God and a love for others, but rather it's the kind of anger that's fueled by our pride, with the flames stoked by our lack of self-control until it bursts out into words and actions. It's not a holy and a righteous anger, but a self-centered, self-righteous, prideful anger. Commentator Ray Ortlund says, anger is a judging emotion. This is really helpful. He says, anger is a judging emotion. Anger is our heart's feeling that something is wrong. We're judging something's wrong. And a lot is wrong. But wisdom brings this judging emotion itself under judgment. Fools, he says, unleash it without filtering it. In so doing, they exalt, they lift up for everyone to see their folly. The anger that the Proverbs warn us about, and we'll read many verses on it, it's the kind of anger that rises in a moment when our sense of what is due to us or what we deserve in the moment isn't given to us. It's the kind that rises up quickly when our sense of personal justice isn't satisfied. It arises from our judgment that we have been wronged in some way, and it's possible that we have been. Yet as we will see, the wise temper their anger. They temper their temper, and they exercise self-control when it threatens to rise up within them. Well, then, let's get to it first. We're going to look at some of the characteristics of the wise and the foolish when it comes to this anger, when it comes to anger. And then second, we're going to see some of the dangerous impacts of uncontrolled anger. And finally, what Christians, as Christians, what we must think and do about it. So first, some characteristics of the fool and the wise when it comes to anger. There's three defining marks of the fool when it comes to anger. It's very simple. We see these throughout the book of Proverbs. First, a fool gets angry easily, a fool gets angry quickly, and a fool does not restrain his anger. So a fool gets angry quickly, or easily, quickly, and doesn't restrain his anger. Now let's look at the text. Proverbs 12:16 first. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. That is, the wise ignore an insult. The vexation of a fool is known at once. There's no mystery. No one's wondering if he's angry. Everyone knows immediately, and it happens very quickly. On the other hand, the wise are those who can ignore even an insult against them. Now, on the other hand, Proverbs 19:11. Good sense, that's discretion, makes one slow to anger. Discretion and wisdom are brothers, sisters. They go hand in hand. Discretion, good sense, wisdom makes one slow to anger. It takes a lot to get them angry. And then it is his glory to overlook an offense. The glory of a wise man, the glory of a wise woman is found in the fact that they can overlook an offense. That's their glory. Fools are upset easily. They're easily offended. They have an expectation for how people ought to treat them, and at the slightest infraction to that, they take offense, and they become angry, and they become angry quickly. Doesn't take much to get them angry. Why? Because they have a high view of themselves and constantly feel the need to defend their honor. Have you ever been around somebody like that? Who it feels like they're just always defending themselves, they're always defending their honor, they're always trying to prove something? Well, that's a characteristic of a fool, and it makes them quick to anger. The wise, on the other hand, they're able to ignore insults. They're able to overlook an offense. They're not easily angered. They're not easily set off. They're slow to anger. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. But he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 17:27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Now again, on the other hand, we have the fool, 14:17, a man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. So it's the mark of the wise to be slow to anger. It's their glory to overlook an offense. They ignore insults. They're not easily insulted because they don't give priority defending their own honor. And it's part of that is, unlike the fool, they don't have an elevated view of themselves above others. Now, one more characteristic of the fool and wise when it comes to anger, that is, the fool doesn't restrain his anger. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit. That is, he doesn't hesitate to express it. But a wise man quietly holds back. NESB translates this verse, fools give vent to all their anger. Any bit of it is made known to everyone who's around them. But the wise, biding their time, control it. It's not just that a fool is easily angered and quick to anger, but a fool also, it's that he gives himself over to it. He gives full vent to it. There's no filter. There's no restraint. There's no holding back. There's no self-control. When he's angry, he lets it out in whatever way seems best to him in that moment and feels best in that moment. This is one of the dangers of anger, and we'll see there are many dangers of anger, but this is one of the dangers of them, is that without self-control, without restraint, anger is always self-justifying. Without any self-control, without any restraint, listen, anger is always self-justifying. No one, or I should say rarely, when someone is really angry, do they think they don't have a right to be angry? Can you think of a time when you got really angry? Your blood was boiling. Something happened. Somebody said something to you. Somebody did something. Somebody failed to do something. And you were really angry. Think about in that moment what you felt and what you thought. That anger was and almost always is self-justifying. In that moment, you always think you have a right to be angry. All anger in the heat of the moment, and this is a warning, because Christians know there's such a thing as righteous anger, but listen, all anger in the heat of the moment feels like righteous anger. And the fool gives into that and justifies giving full vent to his anger, however that looks, whether it's hurtful speech or harmful action. So the wise reflect the character of the Lord as he revealed himself to the nation of Israel, a God who is slow to anger and a God who is steadfast in love. They are, too, slow to anger. The fool, on the other hand, is easily, quickly angered. He gives into his feelings of anger in that moment. He doesn't bide his time. He doesn't hold back expressing his anger. He doesn't control it. Now, Proverbs 25:28 tells us, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. The fool has no self-control, especially when it comes to his anger. He wears his anger on his sleeve. Maybe it comes out most at home. Maybe it comes out at work. Maybe it comes out with his friends. Maybe he manages to keep it hidden in certain settings, but those who know him well, those who know her well, know that there is a fine trigger, a fragile trigger, that once it's set, once it's pooled, all hell breaks loose. Now, to one degree or another, we all deal with anger. To one degree or another, we all deal with sinful anger. So this isn't just for those who might think of themselves as having a bad temper. If you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I'm not that person, I'm not like that, the rest of the sermon is still for you. We all need to hear this, and one of the things that we need to hear, when it comes to anger, and it comes to growing in wisdom with anger, is we need to hear what Scripture tells us about anger and how damaging it is. You see, because just like any other sin, there's the temptation to minimize it in our lives, to say it's not that big of a deal. And the Proverbs help us to see the danger of uncontrolled sinful anger. So the dangers, first, uncontrolled anger results in foolish actions with terrible consequences. It results in foolish actions. We just read this verse 14, Proverbs 14, 17. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. To act in anger is foolish in part because when we react in anger, we say and do foolish things. And those foolish things oftentimes come with terrible consequences. When we're under the influence of anger, we rarely say something that's and do something that's not foolish. And generally, when we do so, there are terrible consequences. Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath will pay the penalty. That's a man who's quick-tempered, quick to anger. A man of great wrath will pay the penalty. For if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. A man who's not in control of his anger is going to make foolish decisions. He's going to say and do foolish things that are going to cost him. They're going to cost him. He's going to have to pay. And what this verse is telling us, those who help that kind of guy in his predicament can expect that they're going to have to do it again. Any of you have a friend in high school who was a man of great wrath or a woman of great wrath, a hot-tempered person? And being a friend, it ended up costing you because every time you bailed them out of a situation, you knew this is coming again. There are going to be consequences. And as that person continues to act in that foolish way and lose their temper, and try to prove themselves and try to do whatever they're trying to do, there's going to be consequences, and me bailing them out is going to cost me, and it's going to happen time and time again. So uncontrolled anger results in foolish actions with terrible consequences. Second, uncontrolled anger causes quarrels and strife. There are a number of verses about this in Proverbs. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, that is conflict. But he who is slow to anger quiets contention. I'm focusing on the anger part, but consider the other side.
A wise person doesn't stir up strife.
The wise person is someone who is able to, because of their humility and their patience and their controlling, their self-control, they're able to quiet contention. They're able to put out the fires when they start to rise up between them and somebody else. But a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, conflict. 23, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. You know what they say, fools be quarreling. Don't they say that? Fools be quarreling. Proverbs 26:21, as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Proverbs 30:33, for as the churning of milk produces curds and the pressing of the nose produces blood, the churning of anger produces strife. So if there's not self-control, if there's not putting down that anger, if there's churning, what's going to happen? Strife, conflict, struggles, fights. Being quick to anger, not having control over your anger, will cause fights and quarrels. And because of that, it wreaks havoc on relationships. It puts those you know and love on edge. It erodes trust. It causes you to say hurtful things to those you love. And ultimately, it is going to drive them away. It's extremely sad when you think about what anger can do in the home. It makes the home a miserable place. All it takes is for one person in the home to be quick to anger, and pretty soon the house is filled with quarrels. Proverbs 17:1 says, "Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." I've been thinking about that this week, thinking, you need to put that on a plaque in our living room, and maybe in our dining room, perhaps in our kitchen. Maybe we should put it up in each of the children's bedrooms, the hallway. I'd say the bathroom, but usually we don't have a lot of strife going on in there. It's usually a one person at a time sort of thing. Parents, this is a verse that you should memorize with your kids. We haven't memorized it. I would love for our family to memorize it. I think it's a good verse for your family to memorize. It's better to live. It would be better. This is a better situation for you to live in an old rundown shack with a leaky roof and dry, crusty bread to eat than it would be for you to live in the nicest house in Waukesha with the nicest cars in the driveway and the best spread on the table and a bunch of quarrels. Uncontrolled anger causes quarrels and strife. It takes peace out of the home. Third, uncontrolled anger leads to many other sins. 29:22, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. NET says, an angry person stirs up dissension, and a wrathful person is abounding in transgression. A wrathful person, a person who's quick to anger, is abounding in other sin, is what it's saying to us. If you have an anger problem, that anger problem most likely leads you to sinning a lot of other sinning. Being under the influence of anger is like being under the influence of alcohol. If it's not properly managed, if it's excessive, it can cause you to do things you just wouldn't normally do and say things you just wouldn't normally say. Like I said before, anger in the moment tends to be self-justifying. When our anger goes unchecked, it always justifies itself, and it causes us to justify ourselves in doing and saying all kinds of sinful, harmful, and evil things. Not just foolish things, but sinful things. Things that cause real harm to those around us. And think about this. Look at the riots that have happened in our country within this last year. Terrible acts. Looting, destruction of property, businesses broken into, theft, violence. And what's going on with those people who are doing it? In their outbursts of anger, they are completely self-justified. They will get justice for themselves, however they see fit in that moment. And so every vile act is justified in their own eyes. That is the dangerous power of anger when it goes unchecked. And I'll add, it's a more shameful thing when political leaders excuse it. It's lawlessness. It's foolishness. It's anger that is justifying. People are justifying themselves in doing all kinds of things. Why? Because that anger is self-justifying. I can do what I want. I can say what I want. Why? Because I've been wrong so terribly that it doesn't matter. Now I have a free pass to say and do what I want. Proverbs 29:8, scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath. Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath. Being quick to anger leads to many other sins. A wrathful person, a person given to anger, is abounding in transgressions. It's sin that leads to more sin. And in that moment, perhaps even after, we feel completely justified, focusing completely on what the other person did and how we have been wronged. Being quick to anger, it's the mark of a fool. It's detrimental to relationships. It's a path which leads to various dangers and sinful actions that hurt and harm you and others. It's the way of contention and quarreling instead of joy and peace. Now, there's one more consequence of uncontrolled anger that we need to be aware of. And this is really important. It's that anger is contagious. Being quick to anger is contagious. And because it is, and because it's such a toxic vice, the Proverbs warn us from being close to or making friends with those who are quick to anger. That's how serious it is. 22:24 says, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger." Think about that for a moment. That's how serious this is. The Bible is telling you, don't be friends with this kind of person. Make no friendship with a man given to anger. Why? Lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in his snare. Being given to anger is something that you can learn and something you can develop by way of example. It's something that you teach by way of example. If you're given to anger, if you're quick to anger, then whether you like it or not, you are instructing those around you. You are teaching, you are training those around you to do the same. And it's absolutely devastating. It's devastating when you apply this to the home. Fathers, I want you to think about this. Mothers, you too. Your children have been entrusted to you by God so that you might instruct them in the knowledge of the Lord and the way of wisdom. Now, what are they to do when you, mom or dad, is a person given to anger? What are they to do? The proverb says, make no friendship. No friendship with a man of anger, given to anger. Mom or dad, what are they to do if you're a man or a woman given to anger? Think about what place that puts them in. And the reality is that if you're a person who's given to anger, who is quick to anger, who isn't in control of their anger, your children are going to learn to be just like you. They are. And they will end up being entangled in your snare. Now, what should we do about it? Well, first, what we learn from the Proverbs is that it's foolish to be quick to anger. And the moral of that truth is that we must not give ourselves over to anger in the moment. This might sound simple, but it has to be said. The moral of this is we can't do it. We must not do it. When we feel the heat rising within, our first order of business, your first order of business, when you feel that heat rising within, is to exercise self-control and quench the flames. That is, put them out. Before we speak, before we act, we must get in control of our anger. That usually means waiting to say or do something till we can do it and say it in a calm manner. Speaking and acting before we are in control of our anger is foolish. So until we can do so with a calm heart and a sound mind, then it is better to wait. As the proverb says, it's better to bide our time. Well, that's certainly easier said than done, but it has to be said. Because before there's any advancement in the way of wisdom, there must be a resolve to forsake the way of folly. What is the way of folly? Quick to anger and quick to vent your anger. What is the way of wisdom? Slow to anger and restraint in venting anger. 16:32 says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit better than he who takes a city. Now that's a profound word. And when we read that, when you read that, doesn't your heart just long to be that person who has strength that is better and more profitable and more honorable than the kind of power and strength that conquers and rules cities? The Proverbs is telling us is it is more important for you to learn self-government than for you to be in a place where you're the government of a large city. It is more honorable for someone to be able to control themselves than for a king to take over a city. Now, next week, I'm going to continue this sermon. We're going to talk about the theology and the practice that trains us in the way of wisdom and helps us to fight against this vice and this foolishness of being quick to anger. So we're going to talk about this more. And I'm confident that what we have next week is going to be helpful for you. It's going to be helpful for all of us in our growth in this. But in case there are some of you out there who are thinking right now that this is just a battle you can't win, let me correct you. Apart from the work of the Spirit of God within you, you're right. It can't be done. But if you're a Christian, then you have the Spirit of God. And you have the Spirit, so you might walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So if you're a Christian, that means you can grow in this area. You can learn to control your anger, and you can learn to rule your spirit. With the Spirit of God, it is possible. Being quick to anger is not a function of your genes. It's not something you're just stuck with. It's a function of your flesh. And praise be to God, he's given us his Spirit so that we might be done with the flesh. So don't sit there and think, well, Chuck, that's just who I am. Yes, and Jesus came to change you. Now listen to Galatians 5, and we're going to end here. Galatians 5, 19 through 24. Now the works of the flesh are evident, not the works of certain Irish men or people with certain color of hair. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, pretty bad stuff, right? Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. How many of those things go with being quick to anger? Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Look at all the things that it's put with. You thought it wasn't that bad. I have bad news for you. It is. It's exactly that bad. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, if man was made right before God by a calm spirit and self-control and being slow to anger, then we would have absolutely no hope. Jesus was the only man who was righteous in anger. And when he was crucified, he bore in his body the eternal consequences of our unrighteous anger. Do you hear me? The punishment that was due to us by a holy God for every single outburst, every quick temper was placed upon him. But there's more, church. Listen, there's more. Christ was crucified, but so were you. He was crucified so that when you were united to him by faith, your flesh would be crucified along with him. He died for your sinful anger so that your sinful anger might be put to death as well on that very cross. And so that by the Spirit of God, instead of all of those other things, fits of anger, rivalries, enmity, all of that, by the Spirit of God, instead, you might have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Are you quick to anger? Do you often find yourself letting your anger take control, speak words that you later regret, saying them in a way you regret? Is anger a common characteristic in your life? What would your spouse say to that question? What would your siblings say to that question? Maybe you've been aware of it. Maybe you're not proud of it. Maybe you've justified it. Maybe you've minimized it. Maybe you thought it wasn't a big deal. See, this is the hard part, because my job is to tell you it is. My job is to tell you it is a big deal. It really is. And the truth is that without humble repentance, without seeking the forgiveness of those you've sinned against with your anger, the problem will only become exponentially worse. And the damage, too, will only expound. Now, perhaps your home is on edge. Maybe your home is constantly on the brink of strife. And fathers, my heart has been heavy this week for you. Maybe you've been playing the part of the foolish man with your wife and your children. Today is the day. Listen, today is the day. Today the Word of God and the Spirit of God are confronting you, and you know that you cannot ignore it any longer. Listen, the only way forward, the only possible option as one who confesses Christ as his Savior is to go home and to say to your wife, "Honey, I've been so wrong. I've been so wrong. Please forgive me." Now, if you sense the Spirit's conviction, I plead with you, don't ignore it. Don't minimize your sin. Confess it and ask for God's help to be done with it. And then come back next week and hear more about how you can fight this foolishness in your life and grow in the way of wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, you are good and you are gracious to us. And by your grace, your Son has come. He has satisfied your righteous anger that was on us for all of our unrighteous anger and for all of our sin. And not only that, Lord, he died upon the cross so that we might die to our sinful flesh. So we ask now, we plead with you by your mercies that you have given us to Christ, in Christ, that you would free us from the slavery of sin and foolishness. Lord, I ask that if there's anyone here today who is feeling the weight of their sin and the weight of the sin of their anger, Lord, that the weight of your grace would weigh even heavier still, that they would turn to Christ, that they would repent, that they would confess to those they need to confess to, and that you would give them grace and mercy to move forward and grow and be done with foolishness and grow in wisdom. Lord, and I pray the same for all of us, because we all confess, God, that we all struggle in various ways with anger. We ask, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would help us to grow in self-control, that you would help us to grow in being slow to anger and grow in wisdom after the man of wisdom, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's in his name that we pray, and for his sake, amen.